Blog Talk Radio.
Am I live?
You are live.
Hello. Well, we're going to continue our discussion from earlier. Ow, man, I just burnt myself. That ain't cool. All right, anyway.
I just burnt myself.
What an idiot.
Damn.
Fire burns.
Is there a fire truck out there? Hose you off?
Yeah. Do not stick your hands on hot objects or fire. It does burn. Just learn from my mistake. we're going to continue a discussion we were having earlier about Nazi technology, World War III, and America, the emergence of UFOs in America shortly after World War II, and see where it goes from there. And we're going to pick the mind of the Nazi UFO hunter himself, Lex Hotep, because he's a vast wealth of knowledge on this. Yes. Well, I'm kind of interested in your take on the whole thing, because I gave my opinion. You know, we know where I stand. I think these metallic and delta wings and things like that are definitely human, not from another planet. Whether they can make extreme right angle turns, whatever, if they're metallic and got lights, they're us. And I think also, and I didn't get to say this earlier, and I wanted to explain, because a lot of people, well, they made these extreme right angle turns. How can people, well, that's not people. Nope, nobody's in that. There's not a human inside of that. That's a probe. That is the type of technology that they're experimenting with. That's not vastly or readily available to the public, and probably won't be for some time.
You know about that. Well, that project that they sent over to the Nazis sent over to the Japanese on this sub, and it came with directions on how to put it together to the Japanese, and they put it together.
But I'm gonna let you tell.
Fired it up, and it took off like a bat out of hell, and just disappeared. They don't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah, right. Tell the story.
Well, that's basically it right there.
Oh, well, that's basically it. I thought maybe there was a little more to it than that. Yeah, I've heard that. And that is funny, but how accurate that is, I don't know. And, of course, how accurate any of this information is, who knows, because of the campaign of disinformation and to belittle those who see and experience these extreme events, these technologies that I believe, like I said, you know, again, we're experimenting with. But what is your thoughts on the whole issue? Just give us, over the next 25 minutes or so that we have, what is
your
take?
I believe it all starts out in India. If you look at the Mahabharata, the the Vedic text all speak of vimanas. Okay? And that's
flying carpet.
Flying carpet. Sure. Yes, yes, the form. Mm-hmm. But they have, you know, their architecture reflects their beliefs, and you know they even have several ancient buildings called vimanas that look like the vimanas that are. I mean, they spell them out for you in the Mahabharata, and.
Mm-hmm. They have some buildings that look like Nazi bells.
Yes, they do. And
so vimana,
they use swastikas. They use swastikas, do they not?
Let's kind of clear that up too, because the swastika that Germany used, they did turn that to the left. So that broken cross, the Nazi swastika is different than the ancient peaceful Indian meaning type swastika, because I think Hitler had that. If you look, the two, they're different. One, I think one's turned to the right.
Yeah.
Or to the left. Whatever, it's turned.
Backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
It is true.
I mean, even. Mm-hmm. It is true. It's true that they incorporated the pagan beliefs of many. You know, there was a campaign to stomp out Christianity completely in Germany, and to turn Germany back to its German pagan roots by the Nazis as well.
The Aryan race.
Talk about that. Mm-hmm.
The Aryan race.
And
yeah.
They even stole that from the Indians. When I say Indians, I'm not meaning American natives, but from the country. From the Indians and from the not from the Middle East, I should say, rather.
Like Gandhi.
Well, Aryans are Tamians, are they not?
Yeah, Iranian.
It's an ancient.
Iran means Aryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they stole and incorporated a lot of different pagan mythology and belief systems and incorporated it into their symbology and their mythology and their belief system.
Exactly. Exactly.
We know that. But your take on these, on what we were discussing earlier, do you believe that the Delta Wing type, okay, we've established a connection with this outbreak of UFO sightings in America shortly beginning after World War II. Do you think that what people were seeing was experimental craft that we developed based on taking Nazi technology that we acquired, because of course we're the victors, part of the team that won and stomped out the, you know, we took and brought their sciences over here, of course. Do you believe that that's what it is, that it's actually man-made as opposed to
us.
From an... Huh?
They became us.
So, yeah, well, they did. I mean, we can talk about that, too. We can do probably 10 shows on how we incorporated the Nazis just in North and Central and South America after World War II, but... I'm talking specifically the technology used and the outbreak of UFO sightings after World War II. That's really when they began in America. Do you think that the technology that people were seeing was alien, or was it us?
Definitely, mostly us. And to begin with, well, now there's, you know, not saying that it's all us. I mean,
right, right. There are,
too.
There are definitely craft that I've seen that are plasma type, interdimensional, disappearing. You can, if you watch it, if you filmed it and you were able to watch it, you can watch it actually shrink and disappear into nothing out there.
Yes.
And it's not ball lightning, all right, because it looks intelligently controlled. There's definitely that. But, okay, but these actual metallic craft, these Delta wings, even the saucers that people see, like Adamski and others, that are metallic, these metallic craft, do you think it's us or visitors from another planet?
Well, also you have to take into account that the Hollow Earth supposedly has Shambhala and Agartha, which are hidden cities in the center of the earth that the Buddhists and Hindus and shit believe. And supposedly the Nazis met up with those guys.
Reptilians. They do live there in the middle of the earth. They do. And
right.
We develop technology alongside of them. That's, you know, when you look at poor, what's his name, Bill? Or was it Bill? What? The guy that got blown in half, you know, the geologist.
Bill Snyder.
I can hear. Yeah. Snyder, you look at him, that guy is not lying. Look at him. Look at his body. It's melted. Half his body is melted.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's not lying.
And he talks about a war underground between an alien race, what he describes as an alien race, and us. So there's no doubt, and these are the ones I believe to be interdimensional, demonic type, Nephilim, whatever, that are in control of a type of technology that's separate, primitive use and applications that we, after World War II, got from the Nazis. But I'm trying to get your opinion on it as to what you might believe it to be.
Well, there is definitely a demonic aspect to it. The way they can fly at 45-degree angles, 90-degree angles, 90-degree turns.
Well, a lot of that...
You know, we simply can't survive those.
Right. Well, a lot of that, especially the metallic ones, especially the metallic ones that we see zipping around like that and then stopping at a dead stop, and they're actually physical metallic ships, I think are probe-type unmanned technology vehicles that we're in control of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But separating that from the orb type, what do you believe, do you think that it's intelligently controlled, perhaps by us or perhaps an alien race, that somehow there is many different races of beings that live on planets that are taking the time to cross the universe into our solar system and to visit us. And if so, why?
Yes,
because
yes,
to me, to me, that's a little ridiculous. And here's why: is because it would take forever to get here in a physical craft. It's light years. We're talking distances that light takes years to travel across. How long would it take a craft?
These beings have perfected that, though. Some of them.
I don't know that. I just think a lot of that, especially, look, with the evidence I've seen, what happened after World War II, we're not talking, there are definite UFO sightings before World War II. There are many of them. We've got them going back in America probably to the 19th century, cowboys and aliens type thing. But all these craft seem to be of a more paranormal, maybe spiritual nature. Interdimensional,
yeah.
They can pop in and pop out.
The fallen angels.
Almost at will. Right.
The fallen angels.
As opposed to the rash of UFO sightings of Delta Wing and you know, you flying saucer type that happened after World War II that were of a metallic physical, you know, type.
But then, you got your good races like the Pleiadians that are in metallic type vehicles just like that.
Yeah.
And are here to look out.
I'm trying to separate the mythology of all that and trying to give it an actual explanation, an Occam's razor type explanation, because I think that we are in control of technology so advanced to us, you know, probably the military and the military industrial complex, the black budget people, who are spending, well, they say $40 billion a year, but it's probably more like $140 billion a year, even more, on these black budget type. And I'm not, listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not anti that, because, hey, it's given us a lot of great technologies today, the computer, the microwave, everything we have today is because of black budget type operations and things that were going on, you know, 75 years ago and maybe 50 years ago. You know, so I'm just saying it's a reality. It is happening. And there are technologies that are so far advanced of what we use today that the military is in control of, and maybe not even necessarily the regular military, but a black budget type military. Shortly after World War II, that they got from the Nazis, who the Nazis probably got from their expeditions in the Antarctic and around the world looking for, you know, technologies of the ancients. And it ties into the monolith. Go ahead.
They found a bunch of it, too.
Right. Well, that's my point. They did. They did find it. The UFOs that... The circular UFOs, the round saucer type. The guy who invented that, the Polish scientist who came up with that, it didn't come from an alien experience or, you know, nothing like that. It came from science. It's aerodynamic, and it's able to take off from a standstill straight up and go, and he wanted it to go left or right, whatever, forward, backward, sideways. I don't know if he ever quite perfected that, but, you know, World War II ends. We grab the Nazis up in their sciences, and we start to use their technologies. And voila, you've got a rash of UFO sightings breaking out all over the United States of America. on an unprecedented level. More than we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
You see my point?
Oh, yeah. I've actually seen a fast-moving rocket-type vessel move across the sky real fast. I mean, in a blink of an eye.
Right.
And I wasn't the only one that saw it either.
Well, I've seen several UFOs. Like four that I can, you know, four or five that were definitely what I would describe as interdimensional, and a couple that I would say was technology that of ours. You see my point?
We're kind of mimicking.
We're trying
them.
The Nazis did, and took over after World War II, and voila, you've got this rash of UFO sightings. You've got these, you know, delta wings, and these flying wings, and you've got these saucers, you've got the cigar-shaped type metallic craft, you've got a variety of shapes and sizes of them. And then you have, let me tell you one time I seen, and this is a, it wasn't just me, there were several of us that seen that. And it was a light in the sky. It was a beautiful light. It was brilliant, okay? All of a sudden, it breaks up into four lights. And the four lights began to move around in like a circle formation, back and forth, sort of rocking, you know, around one way and then around the other. Move forward very quickly to the point to where you could, if it would have been a physical craft, you would have noticed, you would have been able to see it, the physical aspect of it. But there was nothing physical, I think, to it. It was all, it was like light. It was like plasma. And then it zipped out. It was gone. All four of them. History. Kapoot. You know? I don't know. Where do they go? That's what I'm worried about. I don't care about what they're doing. I wonder where they're going. Where do they disappear to? That's what I want to know. And then one time we seen something falling out of the sky, and it looked like a bale of hay. It was shaped like that, but it was on fire as it hit the ground. It hit the ground several kilometers away from me. I was a child at the time. My dad was interested in it, so he drove out to see perhaps if he could locate what it may have been and where it landed. And he was stopped. Yep. He was stopped by police and told he could not go any further at that moment. The military was around and cordoning off the location, whatever it was that fell.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, it could have been a satellite. You know, anytime our technology or Russian or Chinese or something technology falls out of the sky, we're going to be curious as to why. And if it's our technology, we're going to want to recover it almost immediately before it gets out. But so that kind of makes sense. But it was physical, man. It was on it was on fire. It looked like a falling bell of hay on fire. Falling out of the sky, and it was well within our atmosphere and still burning on fire. It was streaking flames.
Huh.
You see, yeah. I mean, when I seen it,
what do you think it was?
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe technology that we were experimenting with fell out of the sky. Who knows? But it was on fire, Holmes. And we're talking at maybe 5,000 feet is where I seen it.
Wow.
As it descended and kind of fell over, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 miles from me. Closer, I don't know. Not a great distance, but, you know, it kind of went behind the hill that I seen that was directly within the viewing area of it as it fell. And I never heard a whoosh or an explosion of any kind.
Right.
But we were just coming back from, I don't know, wherever, and it was dark at night. So, you know. But he, after we got home, of course, I was young, me and my sister, we went to bed, didn't think much of it. Well, he actually got curious and got in the truck and was wanting to go find out maybe what it was because he couldn't figure it out. Yeah, well, he just wanted to see what crashed. It wasn't a meteor. I know what meteors are. I know what they look like when they come into our atmosphere, and usually they disintegrate. This thing was, whatever it was of a fairly, it was pretty good size. Probably at least the size of a couple of semi-trucks.
Wow.
It may have been bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and it was rectangular. It was almost perfectly rectangular, too. And it was streaking flames. It was completely devoured in flames.
Wow.
And I think, of course, that would have been some sort of technology that we were messing with that maybe fell out of the sky. I don't know. What it was
alien.
Here. Right, yeah, right. Alien barbecue. That gray tastes good. They taste good if you put a little ketchup on them.
Wouldn't it be fun if we turned the tables on them and started abducting and eating them this time?
Well, how do you know we're not? You know, you hear the stories of all of them being sort of our prisoners, I guess, at different locations, you know, Hangar 1, Hangar 18, Groom Lake. You know,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know that they're not, we're not, you know, they come, if they're coming here, I guess, and they're still alive when we find them, we're pretty much going to abduct them and question the hell out of them, even if we can't understand them.
Yeah.
What is your number? What is, we have ways of making you talk. I don't know. I do believe that the rationals in the physical metallic type craft that we see today, I think it's just us. I think it's us. And what's going on in South America and Central America, too. In Mexico, down south, you know, in Aztec and Incan and Mayan land, Toltec areas of the world. I believe that could be us experimenting because it's well known the Nazis got out of there, Paraguay, Uruguay. Living around in those areas, it's ahead of the German population even today down there.
It is.
It's said that a lot of the Nazis, higher up Nazis within the, that we could not find, you know, actually escaped and went there. And and I'm sure that if they did, we did find them, and we're working with them today. We got all their scientists brought. Heck, Nazis created NASA. They created the CIA.
Yeah. Just about 2 minutes left in the show, man.
I'm going to let you close this. You sum it up. I've tried to interview you, but you're not talking much tonight. I want you to impart some knowledge upon us. Give us something good, something greasy.
You know
Come
about
on.
The hollow earth theory, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
I'm
familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, supposedly the Nazis met up with the people from the hollow earth through one of their expeditions with the Annanurba, the racial purity office, the Annanurba, was part of the SS.
Yeah.
And they went to places such as Tibet, studied the Buddhist traditions, and, you know, we're looking for the traces of the Aryan people. And basically met up with people from the inner earth.
The inner earth people. Yes.
Yes.
We can do a show on the inner earth, hollow earth sometime. I mean, I'm a little familiar with it. Supposedly, there's not an actual core. The earth doesn't have a core, according to this theory, that there's a ball of plasma like our sun in the middle of the earth.
Right.
20 miles up. Above where where the life forms are. Some of these life forms are said to be animals that used to live here and are extinct, such as dinosaurs, reptilian type stuff. Well, I guess that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. On behalf of Texas Tech, we're not the iron hammer, so.